So gold is breaking out right now. It is
on a daily.
on the daily. So now there's the next wall. So remember again, not all trend lines are built the same. This is the first step. It's a angle trend line. They're the first ones to wake up the price action to give you, okay, something's happening. Then after that, you get the horizontal ones. And I call this a wall because a wall is previous support turn resistance. So here's support. It breaks down. Once you get that candle below, that is becomes resistance. You see resistance. So we're right here. Ideally, what we'd like to see right here is, I don't know if it's going to happen, a little back test here, some type of a, and then, oh my goodness.
Patrick, North Star Bad Charts. Good morning. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Mr. Millette. Very happy to see you again.
I'm happy to see you. Last time we were on, I want to say it was in the fall. I know it was in the fall. And we discussed gold and silver and the different ETFs. I'd like to start with that, and then I'd like to start with oil. Let's start with some gold market action here. What are the charts indicating and that sort of thing?
All right, beautiful. Yeah, because everybody, when you see some crazy days up or down, it gets all your emotion riled up. And then, okay, that's fine. There's a move. But as a chart trader, what you want to, our job as chart traders is not to call tops or bottoms, because only in hindsight we'll know. A chart trader's goal is to identify the most meaningful line on a chart. And that, what I mean by meaningful is if ever that line is closed above and then retested, I know the probabilities of now a new uptrend. And that's the only way you make money, right? You need an uptrend. You need price to go up above trend, up above your entry point. It has a more highly chance of happening. And that's my job, right? That's how we refine it. The good chart traders, we always, okay, like there's tons of examples, right? I'll show you one there for, let's start for gold, a little history lesson on gold. I'll just pop up my monthly chart. And here, you see, there's always a whole bunch of lines, Andy. Like here, somebody, this is a valid line, right? You need the three reaction points. I could put it here on the line chart. So even back here, back in 2016, you had a close above a descending valid trend line. But is that a meaningful breakout? And a chart trader knows that the more steep an angle trend line is, the less important it is. It's a good sign. It's telling you that the downwards momentum has halted or it's starting to halt, but it doesn't mean that the new uptrend will start exactly there. And you see the price went up and then it rediscovered resistance here, and then price moved sideways. And it took years. So this was 2016, January, but you got the breakout only more than three years later. That was the breakout here, a horizontal breakout line, way more meaningful than a descending trend line. So you got always, and it's the same thing on an uptrend. If ever I have an uptrend and we close below it, it doesn't mean you short it and it's the end of the run, right? It just means that upwards momentum has slowed down and you're more vulnerable to, let's say we ever close below here, you're more vulnerable to go sideways for a little bit more and then tag some more longer term support lines. Like let's say this 3-year moving average is probably, we'll probably catch up here. So that's all it means, right? So let's look at gold, guys. Gold is in 100% an uptrend. It's above. Look, objectively, I wouldn't even have to do lines, guys. Anybody could do this. Just put a 12-month moving average on the monthly candle chart, put a 3-year moving average, a 36-month moving average. Am I above an inclining 12-month moving average? Yes. That's it. You're an uptrend on the monthly chart. Am I above the 3-year moving average? Yes. Well, you're an even a longer uptrend, right? So right now, there's nothing. It's no matter what happens to gold on the shorter time frames until it closes below the 12-month moving average, until it closes below maybe a rising trend line. But look, if even if you can't get three valid touch points, guys, don't worry about it, because the 12-month moving average, it's dynamic. You don't have to calculate it. You don't have to wiggle. You know, the price is not always perfect to get these rising trend lines. The 12-month moving average is your dynamic rising trend line. And you'll see when you look at that beautiful run after 2008 there. So you never close below it. And once you close below it, then you started getting into trouble. Then you say, okay, I'm losing strength. Same thing here in this run, 2019, always stayed above. Now it's still above.
Yeah.
So that's step number one.
So my question is, I mean this with all due respect to trend lines, really the primary indicator, or I should say the primary signal that you use is really just staying above the 12-month moving average, correct?
Yes. Once you're in off a horizontal line breakout, like here, June of 2019, that was one for the ages, right? These type of breakouts with a clear, solid close above a 5-year base, 6-year base, that's the dream. That's the holy grail of chart patterns. For me, something like that with the moving averages coiled in tight. Look here at the bottom, I have my distance for my 3-year moving average or my 36 month. Look how cold and tight that was, Andy. Goodness. It's mm-hmm. like there's no, you could stretch, right? Tops happen when the price is stretched from the moving average, right? And now it was coiled and tight to both moving averages, close above. That's one for the ages. Those, I often talk about that on Twitter. It's about low risk entries. Right. And sometimes I say in an uptrend, I'm going to tell you right now, there are no low risk entries for gold. I'll tell you, even if it's an uptrend, here was the next low risk entry. There was maybe one here. It got to a rough start. Why am I saying that's a low risk entry? Well, because it's a flat plane, flattish. And look where the distance from moving average was. Very close. That's low and tight. And then you ride that expansion when people start piling on and expanding faster and faster. But look where we are now today. And that's the scary part.
Yeah.
We are stretched.
Yeah.
So is there...
Sorry. Oh, if you look in 2019-ish, you see the same kind of action as well as back in 2000, start of 2006. This huge run and then a fall off or sideways action. And you've said that before when I've had you on. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to correct, but it more than likely it might go sideways here for a little bit if that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. So this is a bullish... an aggressive bullish correction. So it means the price is not going up as fast as it did off the horizontal breakout here. It's still going up. It's letting the moving average catch up, resetting, giving you another chance for another expansion. You cannot expand infinite. There's stretches, right? Because when you're so far off the mean, then it starts waking up. I'm going to take profits. The people who bought lower are going to take profits. The people might start shorting because they see the price is stretched for a reversion to mean. So when you're stretched, I'm not saying because you're stretched, the price has to go down, but the low risk entries are not found here. You're more vulnerable for a sideways move. You're more vulnerable. Look, even here, look, 2008, look how stretched we were in 2008, February, super stretch. And we got a hard reversion to mean to retag that 3-year moving average. It's look at that move there. So and also guys, when you have a classical TA pull flag measure move, because all these uptrends, they are pulls, strong lip moves up. That's what you want to write. Flags, sideways move, correction, letting the moving average catch up. Then a breakout. And then usually the energy in is the energy out. So I'm going to scare you right now. Is the move into this consolidation, this huge flag. We have the breakout. And look at that. The target's reached. It doesn't mean that target, it's a hard stop. It means the energy that was encompassed into the sideways consolidation has been consumed in a safe manner. Anybody who entered on this breakout here, they've reached your target. It's crazy there. And you're stretched from the moving average. So no low risk entries. Can it still go up? Yes. I'll show you the daily chart because there was a congestion here on the daily chart for gold. Move my drawings. So gold is, breaking out right now. It is
on the
daily. So now there's the next wall. So remember again, not all trend lines are built the same. This is the first step. It's a angle trend line. They're the first ones to wake up the price action to give you, okay, something's happening. Then after that, you get the horizontal ones. And I call this a wall because a wall is previous support. turn resistance. So here's support, support. It breaks down. Once you get that candle below, that is becomes resistance. You see, resistance, resistance. So we're right here. Ideally, what we'd like to see right here is, I don't know if it's going to happen, a little back test here, some type of a, and then, oh my goodness, that's the resolution of that move going for a higher price. But I'll tell you one more thing.
Please.
A shorter term correction, let's say somebody just looks at daily charts. He says, okay, I got my breakout. It's this is fine. It's in its own echo bubble. It's respecting everything, you know, coiled and tight, close to the 12-day and 36-day moving average breakout. There's nothing alarming here. But as a chart trader who does multi-time frame analysis, these types of patterns, like these pull flag patterns, we're able to associate a probability factor of it actually reaching its implied measure move. Because if that thing breaks out, depends how greedy I get. Goodness, maybe here. Hold on. It's pretty aggressive here. Okay, let's say we get something like that there. Whoops, doubled up too much. You know, this could be the move that brings it to 3,000. But because I know when this is happening, I know it's happening when we're already stretched from the moving average. So any of these pull flags we had on the daily chart that happened along here, right? All these pull flags that we had on the smaller timeframes, they had a higher chance of resolving upwards because you're not stretched. But the more stretched you are from higher timeframes, long-term moving average, the less and less probable these shorter timeframe bullish resolutions will materialize. It's just, you're getting closer to the one that will not fulfill its destiny of reaching its move and will get its leg chopped off and fall off. You don't front run that. If it's running upwards, you're fine. People who got in, who are trend followers, who got in on this breakout here, you're above the 3-year moving average, they could just hold until they do get a close below the 12-month moving average. Even if it is stretched, just in case it stretches some more, right? You could even have the price could actually stretch, but do like it did in 2006 and all that. It could stretch and, you know, just keep stretching and resetting without creating too much damage. But if you want to jump in now on the daily time frame, you can, but understand that you're stretched on the monthly and rug pulls are more likely the further and further away you are from the mean. I hope that makes...
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So really, if I could paraphrase, is on the short term, we're looking really good, or it looks very interesting to say the least, more than likely to run some more, but buyers beware because we are exceptionally stretched on the longer term charts.
100%. It's the objective truth. I don't know, like you'd probably challenge me if you'd say, Patrick, it doesn't make sense what you're telling me, like, or often, you know, this is a thing, once people have positions, and I'm a human, I've been like that, let's say I'm long gold, I'm going to always seek confirmation bias. I'm going to tell myself, we're going to stretch. I'm always going to try to find the most bullish of the situation. I'm going to go and look at the 1970s. But look, Patrick, it stretched so much more in the 1970s. I think we're in this type of situation, Patrick. I think if you sell now, you're leaving too much on the table. Well, maybe. But from a statistical probability aspect, look at all the data points. A higher percentage of the data points are below that line than above, right? So for me to try to convince myself that, look at that, like the area of this, way more data points below that line. For me to convince myself that a lower probability event is more likely than the higher probability event, which is staying above that line, it's kind of me lying to myself, right? It's like, it's not logical, right? The logical thing is right now, you halt here, you maybe put a few points up, but these are monthly candles. So if it goes up above what, like 2-3 months, that's a long time, right? The price could go up a lot still, you know, it could reach that 3,000, a lot. It's a monthly time frame, but the low risk entries are not 100% not here. If ever, oh man, I'm just seeing this line here, there. If ever it does close above, you could do TA like right here. Oh man. Let me just draw a probable. Let's say we hit that distance from moving average. We consolidate it a little bit. And then That maybe could be something here. Pull flag on the distance from moving average and then explosion upwards. Then we're dealing with a.
A big breakout.
Yeah. Oh, man. If that happens, if this moment, like that means the momentum is exploding outside of it, descending a lower and lower momentum that we've had since 2007. Then you're looking at 1970s and probably even bigger, like something really truly exceptional is happening here.
Well, the listeners would love, again, this is confirmation, but yes, but they're going to love to hear that. But to all of the listeners and viewers out there, what I love about Patrick is you're exceptionally objective, I feel, or no. And so take all of this with a grain of salt. So you're very objective in here.
I'm
You get
trying
what
to
you
be
get.
more objective. I'm just every day it's a learning experience about myself. And sometimes I do a chart and I only look at okay, let's say I have a position in a chart. I'm always going to look at the support first. How low, like let's say there's a correction. Let's say I'm long chemical and there's a correction. Okay, how low is this going to go? We're all humans. When's this correction going to end? Or people ask us, well, when is this like, or people have the futures or leverage and they know that if the price goes below a certain amount, they're going to get triggered out. They want to know. But when you have a position, it's the inverse you should do. You should look, where's my next resistance? Where's a spot that this is more likely to stall and stop and get vulnerable before the drawdown starts happening, the correction? That's what you should look at. Where's my resistance? Am I stressed from the moving average? When everybody's FOMOing and we're all looking at our NAV and we're super happy because the profits, you're imagining yourself like.
Unbeast.
That's when you should look at resistance instead of looking at support. So it's kind of you have to flip it. But it's easier to do that exercise if you don't have a position in anything. So we always got to fight that. Like, forget about the support. When am I gonna get in trouble? Like when? And we're in the trouble area right here. Like that line here, resistance. It's a resistance line. It's also an important breakout line. But once you close above it, then it becomes support. So that's again, as a chart trader, I know that this for me is if ever we close above, like we're able, the distance from moving average get above that, for me, that's a game changer there. That's then you could go even longer on gold there.
Got it. Let's talk about silver and then we'll talk about the ETFs and we'll talk about oil. So I distinctly remember this the very first time I interviewed you. I want to say it was last April in 24. It is interesting. While we were interviewing, you're like, oh, wow, silver looks like it's about to break out. And this was a short-term breakout trend. I published that video and I got all of these comments. As I'm watching this video with Patrick saying, silver is breaking out, silver is breaking out. It is awesome. So obviously, I'm not trying to replicate that, but again, what is your objective view on silver? And then hopefully that can add a lot of value to the listeners and viewers here.
I think in April, right? So this was the April month. It did close. It had a wick above it. Wasn't super pretty, but it did do a convincing breakout above that flat plane, right? Again, guys, when you're a trader, you should act like a lion there in the savannah. You don't run after everything. You wait for the gazelle to be injured or slow down, then you go, right? This is the gazelle getting tired, right? These are the short sellers or they're getting tired. You're the lion. You're getting here. Right on this breakout, that's your job. It's so easy. It's so easy because all you have to do is wait. It's like, what? You can't wait? I guess patience is hard. If I ask my kids, there, patience is a very hard thing for humans, right? Because you want instant gratification. So anyway, th this was a breakout. Fine. So now, silver long-term uptrend above, again, the same stuff I said for the any instrument applies above the 12-month moving average, above the 36-month moving average. It's an uptrend. There's no need to get fancy about it. It's an uptrend. Is it getting stretched from the moving average? Well, we have to do the same exercise that we did. So this is the monthly chart. What I like to do is I take exactly where it is today and I just draw a horizontal line and I just see statistically it's getting stretched there, Andy. There's periods where it could go bonkers. So we want to know when is important. More probable of me going bonkers like this. Like, when could I start saying, okay, maybe we will go bonkers? Well, it's above this line here. So I'm going to double click on it. Here again is my wall. Previous support turned resistance. Can't really get above it. So if silver is able to get the distance from moving average, I'll cover the price shortly for you guys. If ever it's able to close above it here, we got something. We got another. Oh, look at that here. Wow. Bro, it's a descending trend line, but that's fine. But if it could also coincide with a wall there, like an important congestion that breaks above, we got something special on our hands. We do. So that means even if I am stretched, it could get even wilder.
So we're looking at around 33, give or take. We're saying that, drawing that line with a pencil, not a pen.
Yeah, so percent away from that, I'll show you on the chart, away from that three-year moving average. So if I put my distance, where's my distance line? Right. Where are you? Okay, price range. So here, this one is the red line. So 33% all the way up here somewhere. So if the price is able, oh, look at that, another mystical level. If the price is able to get really fast, I'm going to put it here. So it's starting here. If the price could go all the way to $33.5, $34 on silver, then that will bring the price above the three-year moving average, above that. And if we close the month, again, guys, it's monthly candles. If it does this in the next few days, but by the end of the month, it closes back below that, it's like, there's no breakout. It's a nothing burger. But if this month silver could close above 33.5, I'm telling you, this thing, something special is happening. So it's stretched, but I'm increasing the probabilities that it could stay stretched even more, right? So that's, goodness, that's the bigger picture for silver on the monthly chart. And I'll show you the daily chart. All this happened if we would have talked last week there, I would have, it wouldn't have been like that there, because if we would have talked yesterday or before yesterday, look, it looked like a downtrend, right? It's like it was still below the moving averages, but now it's right there, Andy. So while gold is above its line, silver still needs some work to do. So it needs to get back above, 3250 for me to get really interested. But it's not like I don't front run anything. You know, I've been burnt so many times and I've seen so many charts. The monthly chart looks great or whatever. And then, oh man, that has to break out. I'm going to get in now because I'm going to get in a dollar cheaper, right? And I'm going to be able to buy more. Well, I've seen stuff like that not materialize, unfortunately, and just keep going down, you know? The odds change above that descending line, but they change even more above the flat plane. And that's 3250. And if that happens, look, it's looking nice, man. You can't say this is the momentum's breaking out, coiled and tied. So it's able to bust through, it's stretched on the higher time frames, but if the higher time frame goes in bonkers mode, then you got something special on your hands. That's pretty crazy there.
Yeah, no, Ali, thank you. That's a great summary of it. Let's talk about the ETF, GDXJ. I bring that up because it's not really the juniors, but it's really the smaller producers. I think that's what our viewers are most interested in. That actually hasn't performed as well as the metals itself, which a lot of people, myself included, think that this might be their year. What are the charts telling you on GDXJ?
All right, here's GDXJ, the monthly. So we had a breakout here. Why is it stalling here? Why is it not going to the moon right away? Because you have horizontal resistance along the way, a wall. It's not always previous highs. Often I see like you go there. No, it's more meaningful down here. Resistance, false breakout, but a false breakout. It didn't manage to keep it. See, a lot of people saw this back in 2021 as a back test. Fine, it did look like a beautiful back test. But if the back test fails, then it's the market telling you it happens. There's false breakouts, even out of great looking patterns. It didn't quite make it. I even here, see the pull. pull flag targets. I can't help myself. They're everywhere. See a base, pull, flag, explosion. But now it went down. It created this huge, I'll say the word bullish descending expanding wedge, but a bullish descending expanding wedge is a downtrend. There's a word descending in it. It's only bullish if you close above. So it did do that. So that wedge is resolved. So that's great. The ultimate target, usually it's the start of it. So that's a target. But right now we're hitting that wall of resistance right there, and it's critical. So that's that $50 level.
So we're right there as well.
Yes.
I'm wrong.
So it's an uptrend. It's an uptrend. Why? Because it's doing, where's my squiggly line? Because it's doing higher lows, and the uptrend, it's an uptrend since 2023, higher highs, but a bigger uptrend, that like the uptrend that's going to make this like a huge run, right? It's going to be once we get above that. Hey, that's a channel. I just noticed that there. So that's the congestion area right now. So the next low risk area is above $50, $51. A close above that'd be great. The long, yeah, you want it to bounce here. So any close above here, and then your target's where your target's all the way up here. That
120 or 190. There you go.
that's it.
Interesting.
There's a, yeah, it's somewhere here. Depending how fast it goes there, it's going to try to tag it. If it doesn't tag it, then well, you step aside. Ideally, you want the distance from moving average to there's a higher watermark for it. So there's still room to go for the distance from moving average. It's like it could go up to 63% above it without. So if I do 63%, so let's say I reverse engineer this thing. Here's the red line. Well, it's going to be hard for it to, it's going to need a lot of time before it gets there. Because, see, here's the price. I know that if the price really goes bonkers from here, by the time I am 63% away from that 3-year moving average, there's a higher likelihood that I halt. So if it does go up, what's going to probably happen here, we're going to get an intermediate flag here. So if the price does go up, you're going to get this type of pattern probably. So it goes up, it hits previous highs at 62, then we go a sideways pattern to let the moving average catch up. And then you get another shot to expand. And then after that, you reach that and ender, more end game type of price target. So that's the monthly. And the daily, it hasn't broken out by any means. So remember gold, that flag here, that descending flag on gold, it was already breaking out, right? It was looking good, right? It was challenging horizontal line. On silver, it was starting to, and on the miners, it's not quite there yet. Even here on the daily, I would wait at least, oh goodness, here, resistance, support, resistance, fails. Yeah, there's more. It's crazy, man. Yeah, they're suffering a little bit. The JDX is, but there's great miners. You don't need, like JDX is fine there, but there's some awesome gold miners like that are much better than JDX there. But that is, this is worrisome a little bit there.
Got it. So, thank you. Let's talk about a follower, big follower of yours on Twitter. And I don't know the exact time frame. Is a few days ago, maybe. It was a few days ago you were tweeting about oil. Let's talk about oil and what the charts are showing you there.
Let me see if I could find it. If I can't find it. Oh yes. Yeah, that's oil. Okay, let's review oil. So I'll go on the higher time frames. What's happening with crude oil on the higher time frames? Because if the higher time frame has not broken out, and it hasn't. So right here, this is what we have for oil. Goodness. It's you see, look, it was above that descending trend line on the monthly chart during the month. But it's not, is a wick now coming in, right? So during the month, in the first 16 days, if I see a wick here, I know that it must have looked super bullish not too long ago, right? But now it's coming back down. It might even close the month below that. It's below the 3-year moving average. The 3-year moving average is starting to flatten out, probably seem to be turning down. The 12-month moving average is flat. So there's no clear uptrend right now. It's still,
Don't work to do.
yeah, it still has work to do. So even, let's say we did even close above here, it doesn't mean it's a new bull run. Again, you're probably gonna see my way, my procedure, right? The way I operate. Okay, the horizontal lines are way more important than descending trend line. So that's beautiful. First step one, a descending trend line breakout. Great. That means the downwards momentum has slowed down. But for me to have a new uptrend, I need a higher high. And the only way you get a higher high, so here's a previous swing high. I need to break a horizontal plane. And that happens only above 82. So oil is still in survival mode. Goodness, it's crazy, man. Even if it kind of it's doing good, there's no breakouts. There's some great, there are some oil companies that are doing great. So I don't know who's front running who. But oil has not broken out yet. Sometimes I like looking at USL. It's the 12. When I was just showing you, it was a 12. It was a futures, but the USL is 12 months worth of futures. So it's a crude oil futures chart for January, for February, for March, for April, for the next 12 months, and it always takes out the last month, adds a new month, so you get a less volatile vantage point for oil. See the peak for oil on the nearest contract was way higher here on that peak than on the USL, because the USL probably discounted that peak by having the futures, from whatever 12 months of future. So I like looking at that one very close again. That's like it's a bullish chart. It's a bullish setup.
But we need confirmation.
Yes, goodness. I keep repeating myself because emotions. It's a
Are they
look at how
doing?
bullish that is. It's like pull flag. That's the move. It's like, wow, I want to play that. I'm gonna play that. As soon as how coiled and tight, man. Look at this distance for moving average. Remember, like everything I told you guys for the other charts applies to here. Look, stretch. You see that stretch with a top more, but look at that. It's not stretched. This is so beautiful. I'm gonna put an alert right here. I probably have already alerts. I'm gonna put an alert. And I'm not gonna miss that. Like that's gonna be, look at that consolidation. That's since 2022. That's a 3-year consolidation in April of that. It's like they don't have 3 years. And now you get a chance to play that crazy, crazy stuff. So that
That's the lions.
we're the lions. We're the lions. And it's easier than lions because we could put an alert. We don't have to stare at the gazelle until she's tired. Put an alert. We could do other stuff there. We could go party with the other lions at the oasis. Have a whole pitch of fun, right? Look at that one. That's a huge value chart for your viewers. I hope people put their alerts on their charts there. Goodness.
That's going to be my intro to this video right there. So hopefully that does it. So, anything you want to, I don't want to keep you too long, but anything you want to leave our viewers and listeners with, and how do people find you if
Yes.
you become a fan of your work as I become?
Well, yeah, just guys like the charts don't have to do fancy lines. I do some sometimes. I used to do crazy, crazy like type of charts, but at the end of the day, I realized that it's super simple. Just make sure you always ask yourself, what is the most meaningful line? Not the line that confirms my bias, because there's a breakout, the word breakouts out there. Which is the most meaningful one? And once you're able to identify that properly and regularly, you'll have better odds of successful trades. Bad Charts One on X and NorthstarBadCharts.com. It's a paid website I run with Kevin Wadsworth, Northstar Charts on Twitter there. So that's it. That's where you could find my stuff.
Excellent. I will put all of this in the show notes on the YouTube channel, as well as on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Patrick, I just again, I think you're fantastic. I love how you break it down, and yeah, I'd love to have you on again, maybe towards the end of the first quarter. As always, it's just such a pleasure.
Beautiful. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.